The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
He's here.
All right, a quorum is present. We're going to post the colors. Now, Senator Jackie Winters will lead us in the pledge. Following the pledge, Lorraine Hoodjack of Portland will sing our national anthem, and then we will have an invocation by the Reverend Teresa Kelly from the Maranatha Church of God in Portland.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
There's a small scripture in the Holy Bible that reads to the prophet, "Seek the shalom of the city." And many of us are familiar with the Hebrew word shalom to mean peace, but it also means the welfare of one, the welfare of the community. Pray with me. Holy God, creator of all that was made, we take time now to invoke your presence. We acknowledge your omnipotence and your omniscience. Please grant our legislators wisdom, patience, the ability to listen and understand the voice of opposition while yet standing firm for what is right, true, and just. Help us, God, to be compassionate as Christ was, speaking for those who cannot, fighting for the weak, caring for our fellow man and the world you gave us. Thank you for each ambassador who has committed himself to represent the people of their communities. Bless each one that he may know your peace, your love, your grace, as they make tough decisions for the good of the order, for the shalom of our state. In your holy name I pray, amen.
Well, a very nice beginning to our session today. Thank you, Senator Winters, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to thank Lorraine Hood Jack of Portland for her singing and her rendition of the National Anthem. Appreciate her coming to our chambers today. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to her and of course, the Reverend Teresa Kelly for your invocation. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. Noel Weathers, Amanda Davidson, the honorary pages for Senator Courtney, Joseph Lipschutz, and Kareem Baudre, the honorary pages for Senator Jeff Cruz, Anna Marie Sketch, the honorary page for Senator Joanne Verger, and Jessica Armstrong, the honorary page for Senator Larry George. Thank you, honorary pages, each of you. For coming to the Oregon State Senate today and helping us with our duties and our responsibilities, not only on our floor today, but as well as throughout the day as we meet with constituents and work in our committees and confer with our colleagues. So we appreciate that very much. You work hard when you come, and we appreciate it, and it's an honor and a privilege, and you're part of us. We sometimes feel lost if there are honorary pages on our floor. So thank you. Continuing under courtesies, we will recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Thank you, President Courtney and colleagues. Today, I'd like to extend courtesies to 45 students from Ackerman Middle School who are here in the gallery with their good friend, a good friend of mine and teacher, Tony Crawford, and their principal, Joel Sebastian. The students have come to the Capitol today to hand deliver letters to legislators regarding student interest in the Oregon School for the Blind. Ackerman Middle School has served as a partner school with Oregon School for the Blind, providing support for events on campus and serving as host for the annual Gold Ball Tournament. An additional 40 Ackerman students are currently on site at the Oregon School for the Blind, helping organize a track meet for OSB students. Can we please extend courtesies to these wonderful students today who are in the gallery?
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Yes, the students of Ackerman, thank you very much. They're in our galley to the south here, and they're there standing. And I appreciate your willingness to come to the state capitol. It is your state capitol. It's always an honor and privilege to have students come to see us. So thank you. I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to each and every one of you, and to Joel and Tony. Thank you also for your helping out in this effort. Come back and see us again. Thank you. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and colleagues, I would like to introduce you to one of my interns, an outstanding young man, Josh Savvy. Josh is the son of Joe and Kathy Savvy. I first met Josh in 2007 at the Governor's Volunteer Awards Banquet. Josh received the Regional Volunteer Award in my district for his work with Coastal Douglas Arts and Business Alliance. He served as president of that organization and director of the renovation of the Pacific Auditorium, the local high school theater. During high school, he was also a member of the student government and other community organizations. Josh currently attends the University of Oregon, majoring in political science with minors in economics and business administration. He is a very active young man in the college community as a member of both the Association of Fundraising and Professional and University Appeals Board. Next year, Josh will be studying political science in Copenhagen, Denmark. When he returns, he will finish his undergraduate work and plans to attend law school. Welcome, Josh.
Welcome, Josh. Thank you, Senator Virginia. Welcome, Josh, to the State Senate. You'll learn a lot from the good senator. And the interns are a major part of what we do here, really. And it's always an honor and privilege when a young man or woman will come and help out with our work here. So you're working with a great state senator, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you today. I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to you. Look forward to seeing you throughout our session. Thank you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, the state capitol is very popular with people in my district. I have two groups here today. I have Ms. Carnahan's fourth grade class from Terrebonne with 26 students up in the balcony there. Welcome. And I'd like you also to extend courtesy to Marty Hazeltine and Ashley Dresser, who are here from Marshall High School, which is an alternative high school in Bend.
Okay, students from Terrebonne, thank you for coming. They're in the back gallery. Honor and a privilege to have you here. Hope you're having a good day in your state capital. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. Thanks for visiting with this state as long as you like. And to Marvel and Ashley, I believe the names were, I'd like to extend courtesies to you wherever you may be. Here in from Marshall, the alternative school that Senator Telford spoke about. Honor and a privilege to have you here, too, and hope that you're going to have a good day here in your state capitol. Thank you. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I respectfully ask that courtesies of the Senate be extended to my sorority sisters at the Zeta Sigma Omega chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Incorporated. Alpha Kappa Alpha celebrated 100 years in 2008, and they're joining us on the North Aisle, as well as Ms. Lorraine Hood-Jack, who's at my desk with me today. Courtesies to my sorority sister, the Reverend Tricia Kelly, who graciously did our invocation, and to my sorority sister, Lorraine Hood-Jack, also who sang the national anthem and comes to the Capitol today with an extensive background as an elite business executive to see the operations of government. And on each of your desks, you will have a copy of her song. And she is singing all over the country these days. To Shalama Freed, who is Zeta Sigma Omega Theta chapter president. and also chair my sorority sister, Melanie Maurice, who worked to bring folks to the Capitol today. Melanie is a graduate of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Engineering and Rutgers University Law School. She served as managing editor of the Rutgers Law Review and clerk for the New Jersey Supreme Court. I am very pleased today Melanie will see the operations of Oregon State Government along with my sisters and my other friends. I am very proud of my friends, my constituents, their counsel, and awesome accomplishments. I also want to thank my staff, Lady Sharp, who is an intern, John Christensen, and Kayla, for what they do. And Lady is a Portland State University business major who is an intern in my office and working here with us today. And all of these women work on social service issues and also work to very much in our community to help give scholarship to kids who are going off to college. Thank all of you for being here in the Oregon State Senate to be with us today. Thank you again.
Thank you. A lot just happened. I'll do the best I can. We've already acknowledged the great singing of Lorraine, and of course the Reverend Kelly has spoken to us and invocated an invocation. And to the sorority sisters who were standing and now sitting, and Melanie, I heard the name Melanie, MIT. So you're up there, and we see you, and we see Margaret. And if I make a mistake, I'll probably hear not only from her, but from you. So we're mighty pleased that you'd come to the Senate chamber today. It's a real honor and a privilege to see you up there, and I hope that you'll stay with us throughout the day, and you'll come back and see us again and again. I wasn't a member of fraternity, so I just want you to know that. I didn't do that. But where I went to school had sororities and fraternities, and they were nice places. So to be called a sister sorority sister is good. So I think I did a pretty good job there since you read so fast that I hope I didn't offend anybody that you talked about, Senator Carter. So with that, I think I'm going to move on real quick and go to remonstrances. Other remonstrances. Senator Farioli, please.
Oh, yeah. Mr. President, yesterday was a day of supremely interesting paradox. The Republicans began the day with a proposal for increased spending on K-12 education, and the Democrat leadership came out with a proposal for job-stimulating tax cuts, and we just thought that was a very interesting juxtaposition. Mr. President.
Thank you. Life is interesting. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum. Please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today is Safety Break for Oregon Day around our state. Oregon OSHA coordinates this one-day event designed to raise awareness and promote the value of workplace safety and health in preventing injuries and illnesses. So please stop by the Galleria today to see demonstrations on a wide range of healthcare equipment for safely lifting and moving patients put on by the Oregon Nurses Association and the Oregon Coalition for Healthcare Ergonomics. Additionally, the Oregon OSHA administrator and others will kick off the event today at noon on the Capitol steps, so please join us if you can. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Diane Rosenbaum, recognized Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. And colleagues, the front page of the Oregonian today, if you happen to see it, there's an article that I wanted to highlight because the good senator from Lynn and Lane counties and I were the chief co-sponsors of this bill last session, and I think everybody in both the House and Senate voted for this bill, and it's the e-waste bill. Oftentimes, we feel like what we do in this body doesn't affect people in their everyday lives, but that was a bill that did affect people in their everyday lives. And the article pointed out that through the first quarter of this year, through the first 4 months, the state, overall, we collected 5 million pounds of electronic waste for recycling. And that's 5 million pounds that would have gone into landfills around the state. So it was there are still bugs to be worked out, but it was a very interesting article. I'd encourage you to read it because every person in this body voted for that bill. And I'm really proud to say that what we do here does make a difference, hopefully a positive difference in people's lives most of the time. So I just wanted to point that out in the front page of the Oregonian today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, there's members of the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard in the Capitol today. I would appreciate it if you see them in the halls or at their event at noon that you stop and thank them for their service. In line with that, on your desk is a Support the Troops packing sheet. On the 21st of this month, there's an event in the Galleria in which they're going to assemble care packages going out to our soldiers, airmen, Marines, and sailors who are serving. And they're also looking for donations of $11.95 to pay for the postage for those. I committed that I would write a check for $11.95 to ensure one of these boxes got to one of our citizen soldiers, and I would encourage and challenge each one of you members to make a donation of $11.95 so that we can get a care package to our service members. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Recognize Senator Dirk. She does not. She turned her light off. Any further remonstrances? Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I speak from the House to pass Senate Bill 89, 559, 50, 53, 60, 109, 110, 113, House Bill 2228, SCR 11, 9, SJM 2 and 12.
Reports from the Conference Committee. Reports from Standing Committee. Of course, the SR 8.551 Committee Report Summary Number 91, 92, and 93 were distributed to members today. This information will record the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Reports from Special Committees. Propositions in motion. Actions on executive appointments require Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading, Senate measures. Second reading, Senate measures.
Senate Bill 537, Business Practices.
This bill will be passed to the counter. The third reading of Senate measure. Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Mr. President, the Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus.
Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Mr. President, Republicans also request a 15-minute caucus.
The Senate will be in recess until 10:50 by the clock on the side scoreboards, digital clock, 10:50. Senate is now in recess.
The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger,
yes.
Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
A quorum is present. Senate will recess under the order. Our third reading of the Senate measures, and we'll resume under that order. So ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 326, Wind Elections.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is the shortest bill you will vote on this session. It has an ORS citation and only two words, is repealed. In 2005, House Bill 2614 was passed in an attempt to resolve ambiguity in a case when a registered voter participates in a minor and a major party nominating process for a partisan office. A registered voter cannot return a primary election ballot and sign a certificate of nomination for a minor party candidate or participate in a nominating convention for a minor party. However, the only thing it really accomplished was discrimination against another group, 430,000 plus unaffiliated individuals, denying them essentially the ability, in all intents and purposes, to run for any office or sign a petition for anyone else to run for office. If it was determined during the certification process for a minor party candidate that a voter had signed a petition and returned a primary ballot, the signature was the vote automatically invalidated without consideration for which nominating act occurred first or whether the voter actually even voted on the primary ballot for that particular partisan office in question. In fact, that very issue is significant constitutional issues. Administrative rules promulgated pursuant to House Bill 2614 determined that simply returning the outer envelope of a ballot, regardless of the content of the secrecy envelope or completeness of the ballot, is treated as the voter's primary act of participation in all of those elections on that ballot. Therefore, under House Bill 2614, a person must, if they want their vote for a minor or unaffiliated candidate to be counted towards their nomination, they have to give up the right to vote for any partisan or nonpartisan office in a primary election and give up the right to vote on any and all measures on the primary election ballot, including all initiatives, referrals, and tax measures. Senate Bill 326 repeals House Bill 2614, eliminating unfair and undemocratic statute that has disenfranchised independent candidates, people attempting to run as unaffiliated candidates, political parties, and voters who want to have a voice in the political dialogue in Oregon. This comes to you with a unanimous vote on your Committee on Rules, and I urge and I vote.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. Our colleague from Mount Hood said it all. I just want to say publicly, and I've said it before, and we were to co-sponsor this bill, so I added my name to it. This was a bill that I voted on, and it was a mea culpa. I didn't like the result of my vote. Sometimes when we pass things in this building and we put them into effect, we realize they don't really work. Now, others feel differently about that, but me personally, after seeing what happened and how it disenfranchised Oregon voters, I am wholeheartedly in support of Senate Bill 326 and believe that we restore the electoral process in Oregon to be all inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on this measure? Senator Metzger, do you wish to close? He's not. Question on right, authority in final passage. See House Senate Bill 326 has been your bill's passed. The House does no clerk, please call the roll.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter,
Mr. Carter, go on,
Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney.
Yes. I don't know.
Excuse. Devlin, Whitsett, absent. Carter, 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 326, 7-7 Council Majority is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 637, Million Pest Management for Schools.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm pleased to rise today in support of Senate Bill 637A, which will begin the process of bringing integrated pest management to Oregon schools. This bill is a result of a work group I was asked to chair by then-Senator Brad Avakian following the 2007 session, and the work group participants were numerous and diverse. I especially want to acknowledge the director of the Integrated Plant Protection Center at Oregon State University and his faculty and staff, many of whom attended every workgroup meeting and provided ongoing technical expertise throughout the process. We had several meetings of the workgroup, and our goal was to minimize exposure of children to pesticides. Integrated pest management is not a new concept, but one that is becoming more prevalent. As stated by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA recommends that schools use integrated pest management to reduce pesticide risk and exposure to children. Put simply, IPM is a safer and usually less costly option for effective pest management in a school community. A school IPM program uses common sense strategies to reduce sources of food, water, and shelter for pests in your school buildings and grounds. Senate Bill 637A provides the structure for integrated pest management in Oregon schools. It makes the act part of the Oregon Revised Statutes chapter on pesticide control. It contains important definitions. It includes the schools that are covered by the act, and I want to point out it goes through community colleges but not the university system, because the university system is already required to use integrated pest management by existing law. It requires that the governing body of the schools adopt a plan, makes clear that the plan does not need to address issues like disinfectant or insecticidal soap. It sets up an integrated pest management coordinator and has some training requirements for those coordinators. It clarifies that a low-impact pesticide can be used if integrated pest management is followed and found to be ineffective. And it also requires that any pesticide application be done by a licensed applicator. It covers when a pesticide can be applied. There's an emergency exception. There's also notice requirements to families, students, and staff if a pesticide is applied. It has record-keeping requirements that will help facilitate the evaluation of the plans. And it also, colleagues, requires that model plans be established by 2011, but the implementation for schools is 2012. And I want to point out that there's a corrected staff measure summary on your desk. The correct date for implementation is 2012, not 2011. Now, I anticipate that you'll wonder about the cost of integrated pest management, especially in this economic climate. Research conducted in this area shows that integrated pest management can actually be cost effective. A couple of examples, in Monroe County schools in Indiana, they saved about $6,000 over a two-year period by using integrated pest management. Skokie, Illinois, they said that it does not cost them more to do integrated pest management. A school district in Santa Barbara is saving money and reduce their costs using integrated pest management. In Pennsylvania, a survey of 21 school districts found that 81% of them were using integrated pest management with no change in costs. And importantly, there's a school district in Maryland that actually saved money per school and also thousands of dollars at their food service warehouse. So integrated pest management can be cost effective. The integrated pest management specialists at Oregon State University are working on model plans as we speak. They did get a federal grant to help with that issue. Schools can look for guidance from school districts in Oregon and across the nation that have already implemented integrated pest management. There's also, colleagues, a national plan to implement integrated pest management nationwide by 2015. That plan was revealed in Portland at the 6th International IPM Symposium just recently. But importantly, as you're considering the cost aspects of this bill, also consider the risk management aspects and the long-term health costs that may be avoided by implementation of integrated pest management. I also want you to keep in mind that children are especially sensitive to the risks that may be posed by pesticides. Their internal organs are still developing and maturing, and their behaviors, such as playing on the floors or lawns and constantly putting things in their mouths, can increase their exposure to pesticides. We had a lot of medical research in our work group. Exposure has the potential to harm a developing child in many ways during critical periods of human development. The use of integrated pest management can help to reduce those pesticide exposures and also provide additional health benefits by reducing pests and their associated allergens with a possible reduction in asthma triggers. And I want to point out, Mr. President, that you have letters of support on your desks from various education organizations and also from Oregonians for Food and Shelter. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 637A. Thank you, Mr. President.
You, Senator Bonamici, recognized Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be voting against this bill. It's a wonderful concept and a great idea and all those things, but this is in honor of former Superintendent of Public Instruction, Vern Duncan, a former state senator. He always said these mandates on schools is just not the right way to go. Put a little trust in the local community. They're doing things. My other reason, another reason for voting against it is the fact that I have 23 school districts in my Senate district, and every one of those school districts is going to come to me and say, you voted for this bill. So I'm going to be able to say to them, no, I did not vote for this bill, because it requires the school governing body to have an integrated pest management plan. It requires the school governing body to adopt a list of low-impact pesticides. It requires the school body to adopt policies. It requires warning signs to be placed, requires record keeping and pesticide. There's a cost to this bill, and my little school districts cannot afford it, so I will be a no vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. For discussion, Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President. Colleagues, I want to point out that this bill does not go into effect until 2012. Many school districts are already implementing integrated pest management. It can be a cost savings. It will help with the health of the children in our schools, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 637. Those opinion bills passed. Say all those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin, Whitsett, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Nelson, Telfer, 22 ayes.
The Senate Bill 637, I've seen the country majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 728, relating to controlled substances.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 728 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. The bill basically is going to do three things. I'm going to allow the good Senator Fraioli from John Day to discuss one of the components that was the original bill for 728, and I will discuss the other two measures. The other two measures, Mr. President, includes the reclassification of two narcotics within the Board of Pharmacy. One is directed by the Board of Pharmacy is directed to state and place on a rescheduling of marijuana somewhere between the schedule of 2, 3, 4, or 5. It should be noted for the record that Marinol, which is the synthetic of marijuana, is currently scheduled as a schedule 3. At the same time, we wanted to make certain that we send a message as to the addiction and the abuse of methamphetamines, and so we're directing that they move it from a Schedule 2 methamphetamines to a Schedule 1. With that, I'll transfer the discussion over to the good Senator from John Day.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Fraioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I introduced this bill early in the legislative session at the request of a constituent named Teresa Dunn. The bill was dedicated to the memory of her son, Brandon, so I refer to this as Brandon's Law. Tragically, one morning, Brandon was found dead at his home at the young age of 20 years old. He left a loving wife, a beautiful baby daughter, and numerous family and friends. The concoction of drugs that killed Brandon was Zoloft, which was prescribed by his doctor, and methadone, which was not prescribed by his doctor. The bill before us today would impose higher penalties for those who deliver these deadly prescription drugs to another person, which results in the death of that person. Mr. President, the individual who gave Brandon, sold Brandon, bartered with Brandon for that methadone pill was sentenced to 22 days in jail. Senate Bill 728 would increase the penalty for such purveyance of controlled substance if that act results in the death of the individual. Mr. President, the bill was added to in committee. It changes some of the classifications. It lowers marijuana. It raises the classification for methamphetamine. On the whole, Mr. President, I believe this is an appropriate action to take, and I particularly am appreciative of the chairman, whose action added the provision of Brandon's Law so that we may have a chance to increase the penalties for those who furnish prescription drugs to an individual who subsequently dies from the use of that prescription drug. Mr. President, I would urge an aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're in a discussion. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is one of those difficult bills that has some good stuff in it. I strongly support the Brandon's Law that was just described. Strongly support making methamphetamine a Class 1 schedule. But I have problems with the marijuana approach. What this says is that the Board of Pharmacy can schedule marijuana anywhere from 2 to 5. So what do we say? And the good chair of the committee says it'll probably be either 2 or 3. Well, Schedule 3 says that the drug has less potential for abuse and an accepted medical use. I question that. If it goes to Schedule 4, the drugs have low potential for abuse and an accepted medical use and limited dependence. Well, my experience as a high school teacher with marijuana says that that's wrong. Schedule 5 says it has a low potential for abuse, currently accepted medical use, and limited dependence. Again, I find fault with that. And so I'm going to have to vote no, even though I support much of what's in this bill. It's one of those examples, and many of you on this floor have complained in the past when they tie two things together, some of what you like and some of what you don't like. That's the nature of this measure before us.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the measure that's now before us? Okay, I now recognize Senator Floyd Pazanski for the closing, if he wants to make one.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just to clarify a few things, as I think everyone on this floor knows, about 11 years ago, the voters passed an initiative for recognizing that medical marijuana had medical purposes, and that's why we have the Medical Marijuana Act of Oregon. Because of that, and because it's been over 10 years now since that passage, it's time to allow the schedule to reflect what the voters have said. It's also important to realize that in my discussions with district attorneys and assistant district attorneys in this state, they believe that methamphetamine, which is currently scheduled as a 2, should go up to a 1, and that they agree that taking marijuana from a Schedule 1 down to a Schedule 2. And that's what we're going to do. I understand that the good senator's concerns as to having a flexibility for the Board of Pharmacy. But the Board of Pharmacy has told me that they would be very diligent in their approach. Because Marinol, which is a synthetic marijuana, is scheduled as a Schedule 3, I would not believe that they will go below that and expect that we'll see it as a Schedule 2 or a Schedule 3. Thank you, Mr. President. And lastly, I should say, I do want to follow up what the good Senator John Day has brought forward. It's very important that we do, in fact, address this. Colleagues, there's a situation that we're now seeing, and many of us may not realize this, and it's basically what is happening with youth today, and they're basically taking pharmaceutical drugs out of their houses, and then they're mixing it with alcohol and just passing them out like they're candy, not knowing what they have or what the impact is. And what happened to the constituent of the good senator from John Day shouldn't have happened, and this is a way for those individuals that are, in fact, distributing controlled substances without a license, and that it does, in fact, cause and result in the death of an individual, that they should, in fact, be held accountable for that, and that's what this bill, 728, does, in fact, provide. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of Senate Bill 728. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin, Whitsett, voting no, Monroe, Schrader, 26 ayes.
Senator Schrader, your light is on for this.
Yes, may I have permission to just do a brief vote explanation?
Let me just do this, please. Senate Bill 728, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Schrader, I will now recognize you, please.
Thank you, President Courtney. Just a brief vote explanation. While I do support the reclassification of methamphetamine as a Schedule 1 drug and increased sanctions against individuals who manufacture or deliver controlled substances in Schedule 4, I really cannot support the possibility of reclassifying marijuana as a Schedule 3, 4, or 5 drug. Thank you.
Thank you. Your oral explanation has been placed on the record. The first reading of House measures.
House Bill 2228, when transferred to amendment rights.
Transfer to the President for referral. The second reading of House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 4, congratulating Heart of Valley Children's Choir on 25 years of achievement and service to youth of Mid-Willamette Valley. House Concurrent Resolution 6, congratulating Dave Frommeyer for his leadership, public service, and accomplishments. House Bill 2040, relating roadside assistance. House Bill 2063, relating mandatory reporting on child abuse. House Bill 2133, relating to fees charged for tests performed by State Public Health Laboratory. House Bill 2187, relating fingerprints required by OIA. House Bill 2224, relating criminal records checks. House Bill 2340, relating venue. House Bill 2408, running commuter rail. House Bill 2509, running health education. House Bill 2630, running Oregon Fire Commission.
These are passed to the calendar. We're now under the third reading of House measures. Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 2169, running sex offender reporting.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, have you ever been in a situation where you say to somebody, do you know what time it is? But then they say yes, but they don't tell you what time it is? Well, colleagues, that's what this bill reminds me of. The current statute on sex offender reporting states that the agency or official to whom the person reports shall complete a sex offender registration form. But the statute doesn't actually say or require that the offender provide the information so that the agency can actually fill out the proper form. This bill remedies that situation. It adds language clarifying any ambiguity as to who is responsible for actually providing the information that goes into the registration form. It also brings Oregon into partial compliance with the Walsh Act, which was adopted by the federal government in 2006. It passed out of the Judiciary Committee unanimously, and it had, I believe, a unanimous vote on the House floor with one excused, and I urge your aye vote, colleagues, on House Bill 2169A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion of the measure that's before us? We shall rise upon the third reading of final passage of House Bill 2169. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Devlin, Whitsett, 20 dyes.
The House Bill 2169, Amherst Council majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2173, Lynn Relief, 6-minute reporting.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Accepted. Thank you, Mr. President. HB 2173A comes to committee on judiciary. No revenue, no fiscal impact. Unanimous vote. Strengthens sex offender reporting. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion of the measure of the House for us. Which now rises upon a third reading final passage of the House Bill 2173. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Devlin Whitsett, 20 dyes.
The House Bill 2173, Chief Council Majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2203, Unemployment Insurance.
Recognize Senator Diane Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2203 is an extremely important bill, and it is a different bill than the one that left the House, so let me explain what it does. House Bill 2203, as amended, does three critical things. It qualifies Oregon to receive the remaining two-thirds of the total $85 million in UI modernization incentive payments under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. You will probably remember that we qualified already for the first third of those funds by virtue of a bill that we passed earlier changing our eligibility formula, and now with these changes, we will qualify for the rest of the funds. Second, it qualifies the state of Oregon for additional federal funds to pay extended benefits to unemployed workers who would not otherwise qualify. And finally, it allows for the original technical corrections in the original bill. The be-engrossed version makes technical corrections to current law required for the state to qualify for the remaining two-thirds of the $85 million of UI modernization incentive payments. Senate Bill 462 qualified for the first third. Without the passage of that bill, we wouldn't qualify for any of that money. So this bill modifies the statute by changing the domestic violence criteria as required by the ARRA. It also brings another statute in compliance on UI claimant training programs. Other amendments expand extended benefit eligibility to those claimants who have exhausted emergency unemployment compensation. This is probably the most important feature of the bill because these claimants will not qualify under prior federal and current state law without this change. Currently, statute limits eligibility for extended benefits to claimants whose claims expire in and after the first week of extended benefits. In Oregon, the first week of extended benefits was the week beginning December 7th of 2008, and as a result of this eligibility limitation, approximately 6,000 claimants who qualified for and exhausted their extended benefits do not qualify for Oregon extended benefits because their regular claim expired before EB benefits became available. The costs of extended benefits are normally shared 50-50 with the federal government, but the Recovery Act of 2009 moved 100% of the cost of extended benefits to the federal government, except for reimbursing employers. Passage of this bill will allow Oregon to take advantage of these dollars. Section 2 resolves any conflicts between ORS Chapter 657 and other statutes in favor of Chapter 657. This section was written to avoid authorization of exemption from the payment of UI tax by the employing unit. Passage will prevent inadvertent violation of the FUTA or Federal Unemployment Tax Act. And finally, Section 3 makes a technical correction to Senate Bill 195, which amended ORS 657.176 to require requalification wages to be subject wages. This bill passed unanimously out of the Senate Commerce and Workforce Development Committee. We need this bill to qualify for those federal funds and for our workers who have exhausted their benefits to get the extended benefits that they really need. So please, colleagues, join me in voting aye on this bill.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I join my good colleague and encourage us to vote aye on this bill. I think we have all read the paper and the news, and we know that we do have a high unemployment rate. We also know that there are those individuals who have exhausted their benefits. I think we're all concerned to make certain that members of our communities are able to buy food, pay rent, and take care of their children, and I join my colleague to vote aye on this bill.
Thank you. Recognize further discussion. Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? The question now arises upon third reading final passage of House Bill 2203. Those in the opinion of the bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Devlin, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The House Bill 2203, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I just voted for this bill in support. I think it's an important bill for us to pass as it relates to people who find themselves unemployed. However, Mr. President, I think it is more imperative upon this body to pass legislation that stops taxing unemployment benefits, and I hope that this body would take action immediately to remedy that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Your vote explanation has been put on the record. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3020, related to unlawful trade practices.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm especially proud today to rise in support of House Bill 3020A, a bill that passed unanimously from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, and also in the House received 59 aye votes with one excused. This bill will help protect those who are serving or who have served our country and their families from unscrupulous business practices. Sadly, veterans and their spouses, especially those who are disabled or aging, are often the victims of scams. One example that we heard in committee was when a deceitful salesperson approached a disabled veteran, told the veteran that he could get him a special wheelchair or scooter. The salesperson took a down payment. The veteran never saw the wheelchair or the scooter or the salesman again. Another scam is when callers target veterans and ask them to contribute to fraudulent disabled veteran causes. These callers take the veteran's credit card number and then take their identity and commit identity theft.
Colleagues, we know, some more than others, the stresses that service can place on a veteran and on his or her family. House Bill 3020A will create a disincentive for these con artists and scammers from engaging in this type of deplorable conduct that takes advantage of those who have served this country. As we heard earlier in this session, there's a Federal Service Members Civil Relief Act, and that provides service members in active duty, disabled veterans, disabled service members, and their spouses. That act, however, only provides federal enforcement of its provisions. House Bill 3020 will complement the federal law by making it an unconscionable tactic and an unlawful trade practice to knowingly take advantage of a disabled veteran, disabled service member in active service, or spouse. Colleagues, for those who have served our country and for their families, this is something that we can do today. We can send a message that we care, a message of thanks and appreciation, a message that says when you serve your country, we in the Oregon legislature and across this state say, you were there for us, and we're there for you. Please join me in voting aye on House Bill 3020A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3020. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse.
Senator Morris. Senator Morris.
Nelson. Brzezinski. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Devlin Whitsett. 20 dies.
Senator Winters, what purpose you're rising?
Could you please turn
okay,
return to courtesy,
let me
please?
Let me just conclude on the bill. Thank you. House Bill 3020, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Okay, now, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, would you please extend courtesies to Chapman Hills Elementary School students who are sitting in the gallery, a very attractive, nice-looking group of students.
Thank you. Without objection, we return to the order. Courtesies to recognize Chapman Hills Elementary School in the back gallery. Thanks for coming over here. It's your state capital. And Chapman Hills, of course, is in Salem, the state capital. And we appreciate your being here. I hope that you will have a good day and come back and see us again. Thank you, Senator Wears. Recognize Senator Mark Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to give special kudos to Senator Dianne Rosenbaum for going and talking to my constituents this morning about women issues, Senator Bonamici, as well as Senator Dingfelder and Moslin from the Revenue Office, who went and educated these women about issues regarding the legislature. Thank you again very much.
For the courtesies, we now extend to go to the regular order of the Senate calendar. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 112, 113, 114, were distributed to members May 12th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the state is reported and so ordered. Under announcements, Senator Lori Montes Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats, let's meet in the caucus room at 11:45. Get your lunches and get to the caucus room so we don't need to meet tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate Republicans being on time and under budget and busily working on a proposal to balance the state's budget with no new taxes will not require a caucus at noon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
The Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade, Mr. President, will meet at 2 o'clock sharp.
Thank you. Any further other announcements? Again, we will not be meeting on Friday. There is no Friday floor session. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to clarify when an announcement is a remonstrance and when it's an announcement. So I would like some clarification on that soon, please. Thank you.
Sometimes they're mixed. So thank you. We'll work on a clarification. Thank you. Is there further announcements? If there are no further announcements without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15, which is tomorrow, Thursday, on May 14th. The Senate is adjourned.